is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm glad to be with you again today. We are in a series on how to be a better mother, or basic parenting. And I set this up saying, yes, of course we have to love our children, but what does that look like? What is strong and wise love? And I read you some of the most common answer that's out there on the web and showed you how completely ridiculously not fulsome. You know, it sounds like a good answer, but each one of those could easily be, I mean, on face value, it's just not the full idea. And if you took that and that was your only thing, you'd end up with a very bad result. And so what is the first most important thing to do? Because yes, I've been there. I know that there's too much to do. If you try to do everything, we've got to have some priorities. What's the most important thing? And after a lifetime of studying, observing, trying, came down to what even for me was the really most shocking answer, and that is, you know, in secular talk called religious education, but specifically what? Okay, and so we could go back to Deuteronomy and say, teach your children the ways of the Lord, coming and going, but that really doesn't mean much unless you are already a Christian, already know the ways of the Lord. Yes, we need to teach our kids the right way to proceed. But if you're not already in that community, the conversation is like, okay, yeah, really, religious education, isn't that something ephemeral? Well, in fact, no, there's lots of research, robust, replicated scientific research that shows that Christians come out with a more ethical lifestyle. Now, do we not agree on what ethics is? No, sorry, you would like to think that we don't, because there is some very hotly debated things at the periphery, but at the center, we do agree. We do agree. We want honesty. We don't want violence. We want people to be able to agree and work together. The center of ethics is not at issue. There are some peripheral things, yes. We could talk about that another time, but it's simply a lie to suggest that we have no idea. The point is, we don't have people who are behaving in that way. And so how do you form personalities where people are good and loving and kind and just? Well, then we come to the crux of it. Christians, even ones you don't agree with, you have to admit that they are meeting at least weekly and discussing this and encouraging one another and teaching how is the best way to proceed in life. They're working on it. And so it's not surprising that they're the ones who not only can reason about ethics more adeptly, but who practice good ethics in reality. And that's what the social science says. Similarly, there's replicated, robust research. There's a ton of research that shows the best predictor, the number one predictor for academic success, is church affiliation, both of the school and of the student. And why is that? Because every religious group, no matter what their doctrine, no matter what their ethnicity, no matter what their level in socioeconomic strata is their teaching basic character formation, like be honest, be diligent. You have honest, diligent students, guess what? You have better grades. And it stands to reason, better success in life. So if you want a successful life for your child, then you need to want your child to be competent to live an adult life. And how are you going to do that? If it's not religious education, then I think you are without hope, without compass, without direction, without support, without... Okay. So if you're willing to go with me this far and say, okay, yes, we need some character development. That's the first thing. Yes. Before academics, before social skills, before, you know, helping them dress cute, before anything, it's character, before nutrition, all of these things is important, yes? But you have to have a foundation, and that's going to be character. And what's the foundation of character? Okay, so then if it's going to be religious education, which one? Well, I have a news flash for you. Really, there is not as much disagreement in all of the Judeo-Christian tradition as we would like to believe. There just isn't. The very foundations we agree on, the Ten Commandments we agree on. Now, we talk a lot about our disagreements. Okay, should we baptize babies when they're babies, or should we baptize people when they can make a decision? Well, really, there's not that much disagreement. Oh, but you have church splits and you argue about it. Yes, that's true. But look, we'll just go with that example as one example of apparently big disagreements. Look, that's simply a ritual. Look, well, I mean, I don't mean to disrespect it. Very important. But the point is, in those churches where they have infant baptism, they also require confirmation. So when the person is of age to make their own decisions, they're asked to confirm that decision, and they have another ceremony called confirmation. In those churches that practice believers' baptism, they have a ceremony where the parent brings that child and dedicates them to the Lord. So in both branches of the Christian faith, they agree that the child is welcomed in the community as a child under the parent's covenant with God. However they want to say that, in both cases they accept the children. And in both cases, they want those children, when they're old enough, to make their own commitment. So really, we don't have that big of disagreement. And it's the same in all areas. All areas. All people read the Bible. All people are working on their own particular project in terms of bettering themselves. All people know they haven't quite mastered it yet. And we all know people are different. And so the fact that one group is working on one thing and another group is working on another thing shouldn't really surprise you. Go and get the group that seems to be the most friendly and is working on themselves and where you can work on your problems the best. In all of these cases, they all read the Bible. In fact, even the Jews and the Christian have a great deal of Bible that they agree upon. And we all know that the Christians were once a sect of Judaism. And if you really sit down and talk at length with any Jew, you would say, well, would you like these Christians to go and be in their sanctuaries, their groups? Or would you like them all to come to your synagogue? And when they think of it that way, they go, oh, it's really great that they go to their own churches and they have their own, right? Because, and they know that there are branches in Judaism, and various synagogues have a little different personality because of the people in them, just like in Christianity. The point is here that, sure, we have our differences, but we have more similarities. So, okay, so what is the center that I need to know about? And here is the defining characteristic that is different in the Judeo-Christian tradition from every other tradition. And I respect many of those traditions. They're working hard to be more ethical. They meet and discuss this. They have their own practices and they have their ceremonies that do similar things. Fine. But what is the defining difference? And this is it. We believe in grace, that God reached out to us, the creation. God reached out to us, and our salvation is dependent upon God's grace, and we receive it through faith. Really, I think that having said this much, the Jews agree. Now, the Jews are under a covenant of law, and so they are works, and that's where Christians who follow Paul differ with the traditional Jewish. But you see, there's so much in common. And so let's talk about the Christian faith. And yes, we have had serious disagreements in history, but I think today we would all agree that this is what's important, that we are to receive Christ's gift, God's gift through Jesus Christ by faith. We all agree with this. Now, exactly what that looks like in terms of forms of ceremonies may be different, but this is the point, and it's the heart point that is really, everyone will agree. No, it's really your heart that's important, you know. The fact that one group does it one way, another group does it another way, is not nearly as important as we all agree upon this one point, is that we receive grace by faith and unto good works. We all agree unto good works. So no Orthodox Christian would say that what you do thereafter is unimportant. Orthodox, well, Jews, Orthodox or not, they're all going to agree with God's gift, grace, that God gave the Torah and God, and there is a Messiah. And the Christians, while they major on grace and faith, they also think you need to act right. And here's another lie, that it's all about sin and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, I've looked for these people because I've heard this, oh, they're just guilt throwing. I've heard this lie so often. I went to look for them, and I'm a sociologist of religion, and I found one T9C group that when I went to visit them, most of the Sunday school was about sin, but and staying away from sin, but even the service wasn't. So look, put away these lies. These are just excuses so that people don't have to work on themselves. And the whole point here is that God has standards. He's holy God, but that he's made a way for us in Christ to be forgiven. All right? So, here I'm going to put the gospel, the good news, in 4 points, which I believe cannot be argued against and would not be argued against. First, here is God's plan. From John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So, yes, we need to. This is what we need to teach to our children. This is what is number one important to teach to your children. God has a plan. God loves you. God has made a way for you to be right with God. God has made a way to deal with your sins so that you can have fresh start and start living better. Yes? Recognize God's plan for peace and life. And that's English translation for shalom. Okay. The good life. 2, realize our problem is separation from God. It's people that choose to disobey God, to leave shalom, to go their own way. And we live in a broken world. Some of that is our decision. Some of that is decision that has gone on before. But nevertheless, we are separate from God and from shalom, from peace and life. And we'll use a Bible verse for this. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you look around, I think you will observe that. All have sinned and fallen short. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23. So if you notice, the plan of salvation is laid out in these first 8 chapters of Romans, the letter from Paul to the Romans. And so what do we do? If God has a plan, we have a problem, then we respond to God's remedy, which we will call the cross. God sent his Son to bridge the gap. And if you like to be very philosophical, you could call it Lessing's ditch between the absolute and the contingent. But the point is that God is absolutely holy. We are not. And what are we going to do? We accept God's gift of grace in Christ Jesus. That Jesus died for our sins and rose again and came to teach. And that's well established in history. Very few people are more established in history as being historicity. historically factual than Jesus. And here's Romans 5 and 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5 and 8. And so, how do we respond to the cross? We receive Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. You cross the bridge into God's family when you prayerfully ask Christ to come into your life. The Bible says, John 1 and 12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So all you have to do is look to him, pray to him, and ask accept this gift, and we might say make a decision for Christ. How to receive Christ? Admit your need. Yes, I'm a sinner. Be willing to turn from your sins and ask God to forgive you. This is what repentance is, turning. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and rose from the grave. And through prayer, invite Jesus Christ to come in and control your life through the Holy Spirit. And this is called receiving Christ as Lord and Savior. And here is a prayer. So if you will pray it with me, but you have to mean it, of course. This is not the prayer that saves you. It is God's grace received by your faith. And so you rely in the gift of God. Yes? Okay, here's the prayer. Dear God, I know that I am a sinner. I want to turn from my sins, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died for my sins, and that you raised him to life. I want him to come into my heart and take control of my life. I want to trust Jesus as my Savior and follow him as my Lord from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. And there is a verse in Romans 10, I think, says, to all those who believed. 1 minute, let me get that and do it exactly right. Oh, this is so good. Romans 10, starting at verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, well, this was written a long time ago, people believe, resulting in righteousness, and the mouth they confess, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, now we're talking about the Hebrew scripture, whoever believes in him shall not be disappointed. For there is no For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same is Lord over all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. And then quoting again from Hebrew scripture, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, unquote. So, that's it. This is the center of the Christian faith. Cannot be denied by anyone, regardless of whatever else they might like to add or however they might like to manifest it. This is the center. And this is also the most important thing to teach your child. Be sure your child has a relationship with the Lord so that he knows that God has a good plan for him. And if that child has a relationship from the beginning, then he has the best opportunity to live in shalom his entire life. It's sad when people grow up in Christian homes where the parents are doing well and that the child only discovers the necessity of walking with the Lord when they're in college or high school or college or something, or maybe come back to the church when they have children. That's sad. They wasted so many years where they could have been happy and could have been investing in their future. So it is better to have this child have a relationship with the Lord, make the decision for Christ when they are children, We like to say, some of us like to say, born again. You can't be unborn again, but you can walk away from the faith. But if you had a relationship with the Lord, you tasted and saw that the Lord was good when you were a child, when you were older, if you have problems, you will know where to go, how to go back. All right? So that's the point. This is the most important point of all of religious education. Do this. Do this first. And yes, of course, I want to talk about many practical things, and we will do that in time. But this is the most important thing to do. Some of us got the message late. I was even thinking this morning how much my parents tried, how much I tried, but, you know, and I've really lived a strenuous life trying to do the right and the best, but I got some messages late, or I got kind of the wrong message. Or I kind of, you know, was working on floor three, but the foundation wasn't built. So this is the foundation, and there you have it, how to be a good mother. Start with the foundation. The foundation has got to be God's ways. And this will bring great shalom. This will bring peace and health and wholeness. Great. I am thankful to be with you today. Please forgive and overlook lax with the broadcast. I am working so hard on a big project. And so if you are a strong church member in congregational leadership someplace, please do come to my website and get my free ebook on how to start a preschool in your congregation. Would like to put that into your hands. Also, I want you to know that I do have, if you are of that ilk rather than a young mom, young moms are busy, I know, but if you are a grandmother and you're looking for projects, or you want to talk about the problems of public school, then you can go to the governmentisnotavillage.com. I'm going to talk, they have a little bit of discussion there, but it's really to promote my book by the same title. And I hope you find that book and buy it. I believe that book is on lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com, and working soon to get the How to Start a Daycare Preschool as a Mission onto Amazon and so forth. Working on that, but right now you've got the PDF. It won't be as good as the book, but anyway, some ideas in the PDF for free. Please do come to the website at www.greatshalom.org, www.greatshalom.org. That's great, like big, G-R-E-A-T, and shalom is S-H-A-L-O-M.O-R-G. And if I wasn't clear before, let me do tell you, shalom is a Hebrew word that means peace, well-being, nothing missing, nothing broken, and that's what we want for our children and for ourselves. Amen, and that's what God is trying to download to us. So, please, if you feel led to support the broadcast, tuck in a little gift to me, Sharon Sarles at P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. That's P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. We're not a 501c3. This is 2017, because the work and the money for that did not pay for itself. So, running this as a mission, or as a proprietorship, because that's the way it is. Hey, would you all like to have a Facebook group? I am understanding that people look for things now on Facebook rather than with a search engine. I don't understand that, but let's try it out. Okay, I'm going to, in the next week, try to make a Facebook group as a test. So please come to the website and comment. But how about, let's see if we could reach out to some young mothers on Facebook. Don't you think the young women would want to know about our discussion about how to be a better mother? Yes. And if all they've got is what they're pulling up, I read to you last time, then heaven help us and heaven help their children. So yes, let's love our children and let's help them be competent adults. Let's do everything we can do. Let's be competent parents as much as we can. I sympathize, it's a hard job. It is the most important ministry you will ever do, but let's do it with all diligence and alacrity and with the foundation of time-tested, millennial-tested, yes, millennia-tested wisdom, and then transfer that to our children. And thank God for His guidance and His forgiveness and His empowerment. Yes? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Father. Thank you for your good plans for us that you want us to have shalom. Thank you for your training in your word. Thank you for your model in Jesus. Thank you for your outstretched hand. Thank you, Lord, that you are for us and we commit ourselves to being for you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you in the name of the Lord. And this is Sharon Sarles proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom Broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom Broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.